Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. That old school bell is ringing, and it's time for us to take our seats. In today's class, I'm going to begin with a Bible question. And this is a question that you should know the answer to, though many do not. And I know why many can't answer this question. It's because they have been fed so long at the mouths of teachers that do not know the answer to this question, and they have taught falsely and wrongly, and men have believed the wrong thing. You see, I've heard many times preachers on the radio say things like, man is saved by something only. Now, man is not saved by anything only. We read in the Bible, by grace are you saved through faith. It's not grace only, or there would be no faith. Neither is it faith only, or there would be no grace. Man is trying to emphasize the wrong thing when he says that you're saved by anything only. It is a combination of things that work together for the salvation of man. I will tell you why many say man is saved by grace only or by faith only. It's because they do not want to obey. You see, God has commanded us to be baptized for the remission of our sins, and many do not want to be baptized for the remission of their sins. They want to be saved short of that, simply by God's grace, or by simply the fact that they have faith. And they'll say, well, we're saved by grace only and by faith only. And thus they sit there and contradict them very selves by the things that they say. To what great extent man goes to escape humility and obedience. But now here's the Bible question. You see, we read in the book of Genesis that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, but Noah was not saved by grace only. What are five things that come together in the salvation of Noah? I'll give you one, and that is grace, but not grace only. Four other things. Can you think of five things that come together for the salvation of Noah? Well, I'll tell you what that is in just a moment, and then we're going to learn some lessons from that. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now, to our Bible question. What are five things that come together in the salvation of Noah? Well, one is, as we read, that God saved Noah by grace. But it's not grace only. Because the ark saved Noah. Hebrews 11 and verse 7, Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. He would not have been saved from that flood had he not had an ark. And the water saved Noah. 1 Peter 3 and verse 20 talks about wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. But faith saved Noah. Hebrews 11 and verse 7, it says, by faith Noah prepared an ark to the savings of his house. But the text also says that Noah did whatsoever God commanded him. You see, obedience is involved in the salvation of Noah. Grace, the ark, the water, faith, and obedience. Obedience. Don't we sing those songs, trust and obey, for there's no other way. So those are the five things that come together in Noah's salvation. E.A. Edom spoke of these in a Sunday school lesson that he wrote for the Sunday schools of May the 2nd, 1926. He wrote in this Sunday school lesson, "So God saves men today from sin. He saves them by His grace through faith, which, like Noah's faith, obeys Him. For you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ," Galatians 3, 26 and 27. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned," Mark 16, 15 and 16. "Repent ye, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit," Acts 2 and verse 38. The long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water, which after a true likeness doth now save us, even baptism, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the interrogation of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21. By faith, Noah did something to be saved, and that was just as God directed. He built an ark by divine direction and according to the divine pattern. By faith now, people must submit to God, must do just what He commands. Jesus is, unto all them that obey Him, the author of eternal salvation, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. From Noah we learn that the exceeding wickedness of others is no excuse for our being wicked. Man can obey God in the midst of great wickedness. There were 8 good people even in the worst time of the world, and in Elijah's time there were 7,000. The wickedness of the world makes us stronger if, through faith in God, we stand against it. God's people are preachers of righteousness and seek the salvation of all. Noah went into the ark in obedience to God and went out in obedience to Him. Genesis 8 and verse 15. It must have been a great satisfaction to Noah to have all his family saved with himself. So may it be with us all. Noah and his family were grateful. They worshiped God first, and he built an altar unto Jehovah, and took of every clean beast and of every clean bird, and offered burnt offering upon the altar, Genesis 9 and verse 20, like Abel's offering. Noah's offering to be acceptable to God must be such as God directed him to make. There was a distinction at that time made between clean beasts and fowls and those unclean. Now we read about that explicitly in the law given to the Jews in Leviticus chapter 11. Noah's offering went up as a sweet savor to God, and he said he would not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, or smite any more everything living as he had done. While God does not promise never to destroy the earth, for this he plainly says he will do, yet he promises that while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. These were suspended during the year of the flood. All was chaos and confusion. But now God says, they shall never cease. The earth over, these blessings will never fail. Genesis 8, 20 through 22. Now let's look at the explanatory notes. And I'm going to read from Genesis 9, verses 8 and 9, where it says, "And God spake unto Noah and his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you." You see, in Genesis 9 and verse 1, we read that God blessed Noah and his sons, and he said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." God put the fear of Noah and his sons upon every beast of the earth, and upon every bird of the heaven, and upon creeping things, and upon all fish. All animals were given to them for food. Eating blood was forbidden, because it was the life. Eating blood is forbidden by the law of Moses, as we see in Leviticus 17, 10 through 16, and repeated in Deuteronomy 12, 16 and 23. And eating blood is forbidden in the gospel of Christ, in Acts chapter 15 and verse 29. At this time God established the law that whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man, Genesis 8, 1 through 7. God promised that he would not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for that the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, Genesis 8 and verse 21. This is the reason given for bringing the flood, Genesis 6 and verse 5. But although God knew man would thus sin again, he promised never again to bring a flood like this upon the earth. Shortening the period of human life was one way of lessening the wickedness of the race. The like cause might lead again to the like result, and Noah and his family probably feared that as the race increased, violence would increase and God would again destroy the earth with the flood. To quiet all fear, God made this promise, or this covenant. We read about it in Genesis chapter 9, verses 10 through 13. And with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, and all that go out of the ark, and every beast of the earth, and I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of the flood, neither shall there be any more a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of the covenant between me and the earth. This covenant was established also with every living creature that was with Noah, the birds, the cattle, every beast of the earth, all that went in the ark. The covenant was that neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of the flood, neither shall there be any more a flood to destroy the earth. God gave them a token of this covenant, something to remind Noah and his descendants of God's solemn promise. Circumcision was the token of the covenant between God and Abraham, Genesis 17:11. This token was for perpetual generations. There will never be another flood. And while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter and day and night should not cease. And this is the token of the covenant. I do, or as the margin says in the King James Version, I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be for a token of the covenant between me and the earth. The bow was not then created, but then appointed or made a token of the covenant. This is a beautiful token of God's mercy and forbearance. The bow is seen in the cloud, the place whence the waters of the flood poured. It can be seen in all parts of the earth. The appearance of the bow is proof that rain is partial, for the sun must shine upon the rain to make it. Whenever and wherever the bow appears, all who behold it may know God is remembering his covenant, that there shall be no more flood. And so the covenant is called the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. Isaiah 54 and verse 9 says that God swore that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth. And God repeats the statement to Noah, this is the token of the covenant that I have established with thee.